Good morning. Before we start, I do want to thank Tom and Kathy for inviting me to teach as well, and to be challenged to do things that grow in areas that I don't want to, or that I shouldn't say don't want to. I want to, but ... So, I'm very thankful to get to share God's word with you all this morning. And before we start, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for how powerful your word is and how powerful the work of your Son is. And help us, Father, to receive this word. Help it to pierce our hearts and help us to see things the way that you do. And I thank you, God, for enlightening each one of our eyes to what you have done for us and what you have made us. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Our poster up there on this side from John 14 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." What a tall order. The life of Jesus Christ was one that was miraculous and one that was powerful and one that was so close to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was given the Spirit without measure to speak for God, words for God. He did the will of the Father all the way up until the end, right? And here, this is what he said to those who would follow in his footsteps. And like Hannah was sharing, what we're going to be looking at this morning to start is how we can do that. Because it's not by anything that you and I are able to muster up on our own. We offer a big fat zero to the equation of what God has made us. What God has done for us in Jesus Christ is supernatural, and it is powerful, and it permeates you fully. It's not something that you have to grasp at or reach at or hope that you can attain to. It's who you are. Go to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 9. I'm going to be reading out of the King James, but I may read some out of the NIV as well, okay? It says, "For in him," the context is Christ, "for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You know, this is a verse that is familiar to a lot of us, may not be familiar to some, but what this is talking about is the fullness of Jesus Christ. All that God is, God put in Jesus. And Jesus has made us complete. So that we, in this new life that we've been brought into as new creations in Christ, we have been given the fullness of God in Christ in us. Where now we have a life that is with God, the moment you believe this happens, and this is what is probably the most mind-blowing to us who are used to in this world, you have to work your way up to something, right? School, a job, the moment you believe on Jesus Christ, you get the full package of oneness with God. You get the full package of being filled with the Holy Spirit, power from on high. You get filled with the whole package of being a part of God's kingdom and God's plan, where we have a purpose, where we have a part to play, and the only thing we did was believe on Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And that word complete is the word for filled full. None of us are deficient. None of us are partially filled. None of us are lacking. If we believe that, we're believing a lie. What God says is that you are completely complete in what he has done in Jesus Christ. And there's no more that you can add to it. And there's nothing you can do to take away from it. So you have the fullness that God has given in Jesus Christ by grace. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Hannah referenced this verse. She recited it for us. We're going to read it ourselves. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Ugh, I'm getting older. I do have to wear them. Okay, verse 14 of Romans 8, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit within us leads. It always leads. You don't have to make it lead. You don't have to wish for it to lead. It always is leading. The question is whether or not I am allowing myself to be led. What we are children of God. And children of God, what God has done, how God has made us, are ones to be led. You have the full package in yourself, and you are capable of being led. It is never true for you to say, "I can't do that." That is never true for you. That's never true for me. We can, because this is what God did, right? And you know, what we've been given, being led by the Spirit of God, we have this amazing relationship with this Heavenly Father where we have him in our lives. But what we're looking at this weekend are the manifestation of Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit within me, does it help my life? Yeah. I can live in a whole new way. I'm new. But it also is to be given. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. There's an outpouring and a springing forth toward others as well. In John 7, we're going to read verse 38. It says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What we've been given is so abundant and so much. It kind of goes along with who our God is, right? He's very abundant and he's over the top. What he's given us is very abundant and it's over the top. So that not only does it spring forth in my life, it'll affect those around me, and it is to affect those around me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a little bit more of the context here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, does everybody know what manifestation actually means? It means an out, like a showing forth. Okay, it's the manifestation of Holy Spirit is like a showing forth of the Spirit. That's all that means. And we're going to read the context here in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm not going to get into a lot of detail, but I am going to point out a few things. It says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and that word gifts in the King James is in italics, so it's not actually in the text. It's like spiritual matters. "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Man, look where we were led before. You're not led that way anymore. "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So God's Spirit in you will work the things of God that God likes, that are godly. And it won't go in cross purposes with God. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which works all in all. So there are differences. There's going to be differences in the things that I'm being led to do versus what you're being led to do. But there's one Spirit, or the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God, which works all these things in all. In the ESV, at that last verse, it says, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So the bottom line, yes, we've each been given the Spirit. You have the same Spirit as me, but the Spirit is going to work different things in you than it will in me. We have the same Lord, but I'm going to be directed to do different things than you will at times. The same God, but he directs all these things, right? And so they might be different. And so here it is in this section that we're going to talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. It says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit, or the showing forth of that Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. So it's given to everyone to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will. So there's the manifestation of Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is going to be shown in different ways. And it lists them here. And we're going through some of them this weekend. And like Kathy said, when you read the book of Acts, not everything fits into this. So there's more. But these are the things that are being highlighted. These are the things that we're going to be going through. And the one that we're going to be talking about this morning with me is going to be the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And so what I'm going to be getting into with you guys is God has given us the Spirit, and by the Spirit, he will give us wisdom. He will give us knowledge. Another term that's used a lot for this is revelation. So let's talk about this a little bit. What is knowledge? What is wisdom? Knowledge is knowing something. It's information that you receive. Wisdom, and this is biblically, if you look up these words biblically, this is how God speaks of it. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge or how to apply the knowledge. So God will show us information and will show us what to do with it. This is not for a special few. Remember what we looked at before. We are complete in Jesus Christ. We have been brought into this kingdom. We have a purpose. The Spirit is going to work different things. We have a Lord who's going to work different things, right? But it's the same God who works all these and all things. We each have a part to play in this. So all of the receiving this knowledge and wisdom from God is necessary for each one of us. And for us to shelf that and say, I'm not comfortable with that yet, you can, but God doesn't want you to, because he gave it to you for a reason. You need it. I need it in order to do his will on this earth, okay? What does it look like? I'm going to reference some things. There are various ways in which God communicates with us. There's visions, where God shows you a vision of something, an image, and it's like a movie. Dreams. This is in Acts 2:17. This is a prophecy of what the Spirit would do. They would have visions and dream dreams. Acts 10:13. It can be a voice. Acts 10:19. The Spirit can just tell you stuff. And in Luke 6:6-8 is an example of just knowing something. God can choose to communicate to you. These are the ways in which it's described in Scripture. You can't put it in a box as far as how God will communicate with you. He will communicate with you, and he can do it in any of these various ways. And like I said, it's necessary for us to do this and to be confident that he'll tell us what we need when we need it. We need it for our lives. We need it for helping in the body of Christ. And what we're going to be looking at mainly is what accompanies the manifestation of Holy Spirit a lot is the gospel message. And we need it for that. We're going to be looking at a few examples of these and learning about what we can glean from the scriptures in regard to this word of, or this knowledge, this wisdom that we can receive from God. I'm not going to go through everything, but I'm going to highlight a few examples of things that we can take away from the word of God in regards to that. Is that clear? Okay. All right. This first one is kind of, it makes me chuckle, but I feel like I need this to be said to me, so you probably do too. The knowledge and wisdom that God gives isn't something you can guess at or determine yourself. It's not something that's by the senses. It's not something I discern by looking at you. It's something God shows me that I would never know otherwise. Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 5. I have an example for you. All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this is what happened, and you'll see this in a few minutes. So what was going on at this time was they were selling pieces of land, the believers were, and they were bringing it to the apostles' feet to distribute that money among the saints to take care of people, to support the work of the ministry. And so there's this couple, this guy sold, or with his wife, sold this land and kept back part of it and gave and set the money at the apostles' feet. And you might think to yourself, because I think to myself, well, that's no big deal. Can I do that? Yeah, I totally can do that. But what we're going to see is that they did it deceptively. They put it at the apostles' feet and said, here's all the money I got from this land that I sold. Was that all the money that they got the land from that they sold? No, they kept back a portion for themselves. So whether they were doing that to look so spiritual and so giving, where in reality they were keeping it back for themselves, I'm not exactly sure. The word of God doesn't say, but what I do know is what they were doing was deceptive and it was lying, because it tells me. Check out what Peter did. But Peter said, so they lay this money at his feet. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, wasn't it your own? And after it was sold, isn't it your own? It's under your own power. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Can you come up with that by somebody just laying money at your feet? No. Who knows hearts? God does. I don't know what's in your heart. But Peter knew as soon as that was laid at his feet, Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Do you want to guess at something like that? I don't. No. And you know what ended up happening? You can read the record. It's quite incredible, actually. But we're going to read the end of it. Verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So what ended up happening was a glorification of God. It was needed. Peter needed that information to potentially, hopefully, help Ananias and Sapphira, and they didn't get helped when you read the record. But what ended up resulting in it is the whole church stood in fear and awe of God more. So it was something that was necessary that Peter needed to know that he could not guess at. He couldn't look at the situation with his two eyes and make that distinction. It's something that's supernatural that God shows you, okay? Okay, let's look at another example. What we're going to be seeing with this, and actually in every single example, is that when we receive wisdom and knowledge from God, it's always clear. It's always clear. Don't settle for less. It's always clear. God will communicate to you. He knows how to communicate to you. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. In verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in these days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that when Eli was laid down in his place, sorry, you guys all there, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I am in verse 2. When Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel. Samuel was a boy at this time. Can he speak to a boy? Does he know how to communicate with anybody? Yes, he does. And the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he said, "I called not. Go lay back down." And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go lie down." This is funny. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli perceived that it was the Lord that had called the child. Was it unclear what was happening? Well, kind of, right? Yeah. It was unclear in one way, which I do want to talk about. Was it clear what was being communicated? Here, what did he say? "Samuel, Samuel." That was clear. What he didn't know was that it was God calling him. Which is something that we all need to grow in. Sometimes you may not know the voice of God. Sometimes you may not recognize the Spirit of God working in you. And I did want to share this. I have a personal example of this. I remember a little while ago, I'm still learning how to hear from God too. I'm teaching this section, so this is where I'm at. I'm learning too. There was one particular time for me where I was shown very vividly, actually, a situation with a believer. I didn't know it was from God. And I thought, that's weird. Kind of went on my way. And it wasn't until like I was kind of going on my way for a while that I was like, wait a second. And then it wasn't until, but I still did nothing about it. It wasn't until after some events had played out, and I was like, I knew that happened. God showed me that in regards to a particular believer and something that he wanted me to do in that situation, I think. And I did nothing about it. Now, is there grace and mercy? Absolutely. I'm growing. Is God going to say to me, I'll never communicate to you again. You blew it. No, this is grace. This is grace that we have been brought into. And so we're all learning. We're growing. He didn't stop calling Samuel, even when Samuel didn't recognize it was the voice of God at first. Thankfully, God doesn't cut us out. when we don't respond, but he can teach us. In John 14, it talks about, or maybe it's John 16 that I'm misquoting. It's John 14. I think it also says in John 16, but the Spirit teaches you. I learned from that situation. It was like, yes, I blew it. That's on the cross. I recognize I didn't do it right. I'm forgiven. And thank God that he doesn't cut me out just because I screwed up. Because you know what? I'm probably going to screw up at some other point again. But he still works with me because I'm still a part of the body of Christ. I'm still his child. I'm still filled full. And you never stop being that. And so he'll continue to teach us and help us just like he did with Samuel. But I also want to mention too with these, it did make me recognize as well that, you know, when God shows us something, it's because he wants his desire, his purpose is being done. Like he's bringing you into whatever it is he's working, right? And sometimes it's just you that knows or gets that piece of information. So how important is it that we don't neglect or what does God's word say with the Spirit, that we not suppress it, it's kind of like that, but quench or grieve the Spirit, because you and I are a part of the body of Christ and we have an important part to play in what God is working right now. You know, is that because I screwed up, is that, you know, God was much bigger in that situation, he covered. But how much greater is God's purpose and work and him glorified when I actually do respond, you know? And he's working in each one of us. There's not one person where he'll say, you're on the outskirts. No, we're all in God's inner circle as members of the body of Christ. He dwells in us by the Spirit. So these are things that we can learn, right? And we can grow in, and he's going to teach us and help us to understand what's him and what's not. But we do want to be in a state of readiness. And I, you know, being in a state of readiness, part of that is just wanting to do God's will. If I want to do God's will and I'm ready, is he going to show me what I need to know? Yeah, he is. And also part of that being in a state of readiness is recognizing that I'm a spiritual being now. I'm a part of a different kingdom. I'm a part of what God is working, and he will work in a supernatural way in my life. In this world, in the United States in particular, that is all washed away, right? The spiritual realm is like, what spiritual realm? It's all physical. We have answers for everything, and it's all, you know, we can explain it all away. We are in this kingdom. We are spiritual beings, and we need to have a ready heart, recognizing that that's who we are, and God will, the Spirit of God is going to work in us in this way. So that's part of being ready, right? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. We're going to look at another example. Go to Jeremiah 13. What we're going to see here is that God may give you information in pieces. Don't jump the gun. All right. Jeremiah 13. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get you a linen girdle and put it upon your loins and don't put it in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. I love this. This is so simple. It's like God tells you something, you do it. That's what Jeremiah did. Does he know why? No, he doesn't. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, take the girdle that you got, which is upon your loins, arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. What does that mean? I don't know. Jeremiah didn't know either. We just obey. All right, now listen to this. After many days, the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, take the girdle from hence, which I commanded you to hide there. And then I went to the Euphrates. I digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. But behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Could you figure that out by... No. When God gives wisdom, when God gives knowledge, it's not anything for us to figure out. We just obey the peace that God gives us. We don't jump the gun. I don't receive the first bit and be like, I know what this means. I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da. No, you screwed it all up, all right? Like when we do that, that's kind of getting ahead of the game. Like God has a purpose with what he does, and we need to trust him. He's God. We're not. We listen and obey, and that's it. And that's what Jeremiah did. He just did step by step what God directed him to do, right? And for us, it may be the same sometimes. You may not know why you're doing what you're doing, but we just obey. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. My last one is the record of Cornelius and Peter. We're looking at this record because the main reason why the Spirit of God, we've been given these works to do, when you read about it in the scriptures, is to accompany the gospel message. We see that in this record. You know, we're not given wisdom and knowledge for God to make us feel special, to make us feel spiritual. You already are special and spiritual in Jesus Christ. These are to accomplish God's purposes. It's cool when it happens. Don't get me wrong. It's like, wow. But it's whether I receive, you know, 10 pieces of information from God or one, does that change who I am? No, you're never more spiritual or more loved by the manifestation of Holy Spirit. You are spiritual and loved because of the work of Jesus Christ, right? So these are going to accomplish God's purposes. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start up in verse 9. We're going to read the record of what happened to Peter. Okay. Okay, so at this point, Cornelius gets a vision from an angel, says, go get Peter. He's going to tell you stuff. So they're coming to get Peter. And during this time, Peter's hungry, and he's on a rooftop, and he's praying. Okay. Verse 10, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, so they were making food, it says he fell into a trance. That word trance, it's a word that means like an amazement. He saw an amazing vision, basically, is what this is. And this is what it was. He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descend unto him, as it had been great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts on the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, or thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So, you know, Peter saw this amazing vision three times, heard a voice, like, you know, we can't, and I did want to mention, I forgot to mention earlier, the manifestation of Holy Spirit, like, you might get multiple all at once, right? You might get knowledge and wisdom. You might get just knowledge. Like, you might know what to, you might be given some information in a situation, but not know what to do about it. He was given some information in the situation, and he didn't know what to do about it at this point. And, you know, that does happen, whether that's, hey, there's a devil spirit. Not for you to do anything about it, but for you to be aware. Or, you know, I don't know. That happens, okay? So at this point, he received this information. He's like, I don't know what this means. And that group from Cornelius had arrived. In verse 19, we're going to go to, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek you. Therefore, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Boy, aren't you glad Peter could receive information from God? Yeah, he would have never gone with these guys. What ends up happening, you can read the record yourself, is he goes to a Gentile home. And he speaks the gospel, and they get born again. He would have never done this. This is the first time Gentiles got saved. If he would have not received this information from God, he would not have done this. Do you think this was a big deal? Yeah. So God was being really clear to teach him, what I have cleansed, don't call that unclean. Don't ask any questions. Go with these guys. I was going to read the whole record, but I'm not going to. If you're unfamiliar with the record or you haven't read it in a while, read it. It's fantastic because what God has given us to do is to be ministers of the gospel. And this Holy Spirit is necessary to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and it's necessary for the movement of God's word. Without this, Peter would not have done it. You know, for us, I can be directed to speak to a specific individual. I can be directed to do all kinds of stuff. You know, put on a girdle and stick it in a rock. Why? I don't know. But it would, you know, God is working his purposes, and he teaches us and he helps us. He leads us by the Spirit. And it is necessary to do what he wants to accomplish on this earth. You know, so just to kind of recap everything. What God has given us and made us in Christ is amazing. And a part of being God's child is manifesting this Holy Spirit. We can get wisdom and knowledge from God to help further God's purposes and plans. And it's not of the flesh. It's of the Spirit. We won't be able to guess or come up with the things God tells us. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It will be clear. He knows how to communicate with you. The Spirit will teach you what is from him and what is not. You know, for us, are we going to be humble? And honestly, he'll work with you even if you're not. Because the Spirit always leads you. But if I want to do God's will, we don't ever have to be afraid that we won't have the information we need. He will always give it. He's the one who made this whole thing. He's the one who brought us into his plan. He will perform his word, and he will be faithful to work in you by the Spirit to know what you need to know. Amen?